Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second Sunday of Easter comes from our Gospel reading of John. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. In the name of Jesus. John speaks here about the sole purpose for writing his gospel, but his words are also true for the entirety of Scripture. There's only one purpose for why God's word is written down, only one reason why it is proclaimed in our churches, why it is read in our homes, why we make certain that our children hear it and learn it and understand it. And that purpose is clear, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Anything else that we might try and grab from Scripture is at best secondary to what has just been said from John. And at worst, it's a complete misunderstanding of God's Word, the cross, the resurrection, Jesus Himself. The disciples, they're terrified. They're locked away in a room. Thomas doubts forever. He has that nickname that isn't so much just his, but it is all of our nickname. But it does all make sense that day, doesn't it? Just think about it. Jesus is dead, and he's buried. All of his disciples saw him arrested. A couple of them saw him put on trial and sentenced to death. At least one of them witnessed him naked and dead on a cross. And they all knew the place that he was laid, could actually go to it by themselves, pay their respects if they had wanted to, if they weren't so scared that the same thing might actually happen to them. So after all of that said and done, who among us can actually blame them for what they're doing? Who among us would actually do any different than any of them? Dead means dead. And in this case, with Jesus, it means a whole lot more. Because a dead and a stayed dead Jesus means that everything that they believed in was a lie. All of it, from beginning to end, a great big sham. Jesus dead, the so-called Messiah, is not the Messiah that they thought he was. 3 years wasted, lives destroyed, friendships broken, family relationships shattered. All for this Jesus who's now rotting in the grave. But the tomb's empty, Mary Magdalene says. And sure, maybe they believed that the tomb was empty, but that didn't make all that much sense either. And that didn't make everything okay. And so Jesus, he appears to them behind locked doors with no way in, no way out. There he is, right there, in the flesh. Nail marks still in his hands and feet. A giant gash still gaping in his side. This is no ghost. It's no spirit, no aberration. No, it's just Jesus. In the flesh. It's Jesus risen from the dead, body and soul risen from the dead, and it defies all logic and all reason. It defies all laws of nature. We could maybe even say it defies the laws of God, but there he is, and there's no mistaking it. And the disciples, they all had to see it with their own eyes, Thomas included. Jesus, he obliges them. He calms their troubled hearts and minds. He speaks peace to them. The same peace that we get to speak to each other. And they're glad. They're overwhelmed with joy and relief and comfort. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. But there's more to it. And you know that there is. There has to be. Jesus, he continues with that odd little act of breathing on them, giving them the Holy Spirit. And that's important because Jesus' work isn't done. Yes, absolutely. He won the victory over sin, death, and the grave. And the demons too, when he breathed his last, when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. He was placed in the tomb. He burst forth from it. All of it done. The victory was all his. But there is more. There's so much more. Because Jesus didn't do that for himself. He didn't rise from the dead for his own good and for his own purpose. He didn't show himself to the disciples in order that they might say, "Well, good. I guess he wasn't lying after all." He really is the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Good for him. Of course death couldn't hold him. He's God. He's the Lord of life. Of course the grave couldn't keep him enslaved. He's too powerful for that, and the grave too weak. What a great day. Jesus is vindicated. All the naysayers put to shame. I know all of that is true, but that's not the purpose of any of it. None of Jesus' work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, was for himself. It was for his own good. It was for their good. It was for our good. It's for your good. So Jesus, he does that weird little thing, breathing on them. And he gives the Holy Spirit. But why? Well, Jesus tells us, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. There it is. There's the purpose of it all. From Christmas morning all the way to Easter sunrise, it's all about that one thing, the forgiveness of sins. For what Jesus accomplished on the cross must be given to the sinners of this world. Jesus paid the price for the sins of the entire world. He crushed the head of Satan, and when he overcame death itself. And now, all of this must be given to the likes of you and me, the terrified sinners, hiding away in this sin-infested world, locked in our own special little rooms. It has to be given to the likes of doubting Thomases that look just like you and just like me, who can't for the life of us believe in the unbelievable. All of this actually must be given to the people that Jesus came to save. For what good is the cross if it isn't for you, isn't given to you? What good is the resurrection if it isn't for you, isn't given to you? It's worthless. It's pointless. If Jesus kept all of this just for himself, it would be nothing more than a horrible and ugly joke, because we would still be dead in our sins, chained to them. We'd still be bound to the devil. We'd still be locked in our graves for all of eternity. But Jesus wouldn't have this. And so he took those spoils of war. He took that shining crown of victory that he won on the cross, that he put on during his resurrection, and he gave it to the disciples, but not just to them, but to you as well. And he did this. He does this in a really very real and tangible way. Still, he does this in a very real and tangible way, in the spoken word of forgiveness, in wet foreheads of infants, in bread and wine that is the very body and blood of the risen and ascended Jesus. He gives the victory of the cross, the victory over the grave, to you, to the church. Just think of that. Think of how amazing, ultimately stupefying, that truth is, that it really is, into the hands of mortal men, into the hands of sinners like you and me, he gives the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven. Everything that we couldn't accomplish for ourselves, everything that we are unworthy to claim as our own, Jesus gives to us, and then he says, it's ours. He makes us worthy to receive the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And then more than that, he even gives us the authority to proclaim that victory, to give that victory to sinners just like us. Jesus declares, what is mine is yours. Now go. Go out and give that to everyone you meet. Don't hide it away behind locked doors. Give it freely, as I have given it to you. Unlock the kingdom of heaven to those still on this earth. And I know, certainly it is absolutely true that no one can forgive sins except God himself. But what good is that forgiveness if I have to ascend up into the heavens to get it? Just how do I get there? And then how do I know for certain that it's mine? Do I just feel it? Do I just think hard enough about it and then it's true? Do I have to obtain some mystical and spiritual ascendance up into a mystical presence of God somewhere up there? I can't do that. I'm just a mortal man. And I live in this world right where I am. And I still sin every day. Every single hour, as a matter of fact. And I still have Satan prowling around me like a roaring lion. And I still have to bury my loved ones in the tomb, like we did on Friday with Jolene. What good is this heavenly forgiveness if I'm not in heaven? I need it here. I need it now. I need Jesus and his victory right where I'm at, not where I hope to be someday. So Jesus, he breathes his spirit on his disciples, upon the church, tells them to forgive sins here on earth, right here. Right here, where sin is actually real, and the devil still tempts, and death still kills. He says to them, go and forgive. Go and give life. Go and give my victory, which is now your victory, through me. Go and give this to the world, to sinners. Go and give it to you. And so they do. And so we do. And forgiveness is ours. Right here on earth, just as it is in heaven, there's no more need to doubt this than there was for Thomas to doubt that the tomb was still had Jesus' body in it. But even when you do doubt, and even when you do become your own little doubting Thomases, Jesus is still here for you. He still actually comes to you right where you're at. In word and water and bread and wine. He's here, and he's here for you, so that you might receive the forgiveness of your sins, so that you might be confident and sure that you have life and salvation. We don't have to gape toward heaven with a hope that our sins are forgiven. Instead, we have it right here in time and space. We have it within the church. And that's why we actually gather together. That's why God instituted the church. So that we can come together, troubled by sin and guilt and shame, and hear the words of Christ proclaimed from the lips of a pastor who isn't worthy to say this any more than you are. You are forgiven. And how can we be certain then that this forgiveness is true? How can we be comforted with the fact that through such words, through our baptism, through this supper, that no one and nothing, not sin, not our neighbors, not Satan, not death, not even God himself, can then hold our sin against us. Because Christ declared it to be so. Christ himself instituted this way of absolution, so that what is forgiven here on earth is forgiven there in heaven. His death won all of it. His resurrection sealed the victory. Made it effective. It's our Lord's words. He says it. And so you are forgiven. John tells us that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples during his life between the resurrection and his ascension. And a part of me would like to know all of those things, what those signs were, but I suppose that's for a different day. A day in which this world is finally without sin and our bodies are raised in the perfection of Christ to live for eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. Maybe that day I'll track John down and I'll ask him what all those other signs and wonders were that Jesus did. But for now, all that we have, and more importantly, all that we need for salvation has already been given to us. The other stuff can wait. That's what our Lord says. And if he says as much, then I suppose the best thing for us to do is to continue to gather, like we have today, and next week too, in order to receive the things given and gifted and granted for our salvation. So this is what we do. This is what the church does. This is why we gather. Week in and week out, in order to receive Christ and his cross, His resurrection given to us, victory over sin, death, and the devil given to us in weak little things, I know, like words and water and bread and wine that are no weaker than a dead man on a cross. But through that dead man and through the things from that dead man's resurrection, we have all that we need, all that we could ever want. It's the whole reason for the church. The whole reason that we gather together as saints in our Lord, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that we might believe in Him and have life in His name, so that we might receive the gifts of the cross and the resurrection right here in time and space, so that you might be confident and know, even here on earth, that in the eyes of God, your Father in heaven, all of your sins are forgiven. He is risen.